Welcome to Creating Cashflow for September 10th, 2023. Christine Aller. And the way this works for anyone who is new here, I'm first going to coach on the questions that were submitted to me today. And then, and there will be likely time left over, I'll open the floor to anybody. If you feel like you would like to get coached today, please raise your hand because that lets me sort of plot out our time. Helen. Field. Oh my goodness, this was very, very exciting. Victory report. You wrote, I'm currently working with three clients. I've had four total now. And for one of them, I doubled my price, as we talked about last time. He didn't bat an eye and has been absolutely gushing about how much he loves his space and wants to hire me for another space in a month or so. And with all three projects, I'm learning a lot about balance and setting realistic timelines and getting clear on what I offer. And I feel so lit up with ideas and I'm having a great time. So happy to hear that. That excites me. And you are offered a job with a designer. I'd be her marketing coordinator and essentially her in-house stylist for shoots. I've also been picking up a lot of freelance styling work as an assistant, and I feel like I'm learning a ton. I am the best kind of tired. Congratulations on all of that wonderfulness.
Thank
So you have two questions. The first one is, oh, and by the way, I forgot to introduce you. You're a cash flow cat. And in addition to your creative career, you run Highfield Home, interior design and styling. So, for the job with a designer, you want to talk through her offer, which wasn't what you thought it would be, and what you might want to counter offer. And you've already gotten some advice from your stylist boss and ideas, but you just want to kind of hash it out and feel solid on the language. So, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so the whole process of interviewing for this just took longer than I thought it would, and I'm just getting the sense that she's maybe a little overwhelmed with how she's growing her business and needs a variety of things. So I had a phone call with her a few weeks ago, and then another phone call, and then it was like, "Oh, well, I'll let you know after Labor Day." And she didn't let me know. Instead, she said, "Hey, can we meet for coffee?" So we met for coffee on Friday, and I was like, "Okay, it's just like a vibe check. That's fine. We haven't met in person." And throughout that, the whole time she's like showing me pictures from her Instagram. To be clear, what I applied for, I don't know if this is all necessary, this context, but the job I applied for was associate interior designer, and it involved a lot. There was a lot of language about like project management and can you balance multiple projects and blah blah blah. And then at this meeting, she's like showing me her Instagram and asking my opinion about photographers, and I just kind of was like having a conversation and offering my opinion and saying what I knew and whatever. I think I even at one point was like, yeah, social media management, that's a whole job. Like I thought maybe I could do that, but I don't want to do that. And then she offers me, and then she's like, okay, I'll let you know next week. And then Friday at 6 p.m. she sends me an offer letter. And I was like, oh. So it's for marketing coordinator. It's basically, I'm just gonna go through the whole letter. She says, please, feels like a good place to start. This is in the email. Feels like a good place to start. There's indeed opportunity for more responsibility, but let's get our bearings together first. So marketing coordinator, 14 to 21 hours a week, essentially 2 to 3 days, 35 an hour. I had told her I would do 40 an hour. Assignments, own all of the company's styling efforts, and I will be individually credited in press features. Manage press requests and outreach, create social strategies, execute and measure, attend trade-only events as desired, manage website updates with third party, attend client meetings periodically, general market research, oversee intern projects, because she's like hiring intern projects. Also, in that meeting, she told me she hired a project manager, and I was like, I thought that's what I was here for. I'm so confused. Whatever. And then it's all very flexible. It's mostly remote. Whatever. The sense that I get is that she has only ever hired the stylist that I work as an assistant for. She's only hired her on one photo shoot. Mostly she just hires a photographer, and the photographer offers some styling advice, but it's not a full thing. So my sense is that she just wants to have an in-house stylist for cheaper than paying an actual stylist per shoot. And she was very like, I came to her through the photographer. And when she found out, when she was like, oh, you run with them. Oh, so she clearly like appreciates their eye and mine by extension. So my impulse, and I guess I'm, is that I had said 40, she says 35. For the other stuff, I'm for like the remote research, I'm like going to look up other designers on Instagram. Like, sure, pay me 35 an hour for that. I don't care. But for styling days, I think I want to negotiate a higher rate, because I'm getting the sense that she doesn't fully, and this is a, I think a industry-wide thing, but I don't think she fully understands what a stylist does. And I think that she wants the help, but doesn't want to hire my boss, who would be like $1,000 a day. So what my boss was saying is, she was like, why don't you charge her? You should charge her more for shoot days. Just go somewhere between like an assistant rate and like an actual rate, because I'd be acting as the lead stylist. And the tricky thing is, I think what she, you know, she's offering me the, or dangling me the benefit of like, you'll be credited in press. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about that. I'd rather be paid. I mean, it will feel like an accomplishment. It'll feel like a win. It'd be nice. But like, I'm not necessarily trying to become a stylist all full time. So whatever. So I'm thinking that I say, 35 is fine. But on shoot days, I need a day rate of 500. And I also want to get some language in there of like, cause she's already referencing like, you know, we need to figure out the scope of responsibilities, but I want to work in something about like, let's have a monthly or bi-monthly meeting where we check in about expectations and role responsibilities. Partially so, you know, if it gets to the point where, like, the amount of times that she has said some version of like, I just want to go do the fun stuff. I'm like, okay, so it is potentially like, you're going to have me running your business for 35 an hour, and that's not cool. So I want to figure out how to say that without being like, and you're going to have to give me a raise in 2 months. Because she's also maybe hiring these interns. She's like building out her team. And I think it's going to be a little bit of like, we're going to see how this works. So I want to roll with that, but I just don't want to get locked in at a lower rate when I'm doing a ton of stuff. And I feel some loyalty to the other stylist. Like, I ran it by her because I'm like, I'm not taking a job from you, right? Like, I feel some loyalty to make sure that she understands that styling is a thing that you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Plus, I have three other, and we've talked a little bit about flexibility, and she's referencing that. So it's like 2 to 3 days a week. I'm already holding dates for three other styling jobs as an assistant. So I'd have to be flexible on the days within the week for 2 weeks. And then there's one where I'm just out of town, and I'll just, so already the juggling is happening. And then on top of that, I'm juggling my own clients, and that's a whole thing, but it's great. Yes, I think that's the full thing.
Okay. So I have a question.
Okay.
Do you want to be her marketing coordinator? Do you even want this job?
Well, yes and no, because Well, the no only comes from, I'm like, that's not what you initially were at. Like, and I don't understand why you're choosing to hire this other per. Like, I think she thinks that because I've done styling work, she wants to get me as a stylist.
Right. But had you seen an advertisement for, hey, I'm a designer and I need someone to do my marketing coordination and oversee my social media and manage my interns?
The manage my interns is very weird. That
yeah
I'm not
but would you have that. Applied for that?
Well, I applied to a similar job for someone else, not a designer, but like
Uh-huh.
a lifestyle person.
Uh-huh.
I did. The way that it's fitting in my head is I'm like, well, I need to work on my marketing for Highfield Home.
Mm-hmm.
It might be kind of handy to already be in that headspace and like learn some tips and tricks along the way. And given how she is talking about what she needs to build up, you know, I said earlier, like, am I going to be running this lady's business? I'm like, I actually kind of like the idea of my responsibilities expanding and me doing more for her. So I'm like, if this is the way in, then this is the way in.
I'm just wondering if that's the way in, because I'm wondering if you could just expand your business and grow your marketing.
Yeah.
And then get hired for $500 a day to do the thing you really want to do, which is style things, and
Yeah.
get credit for that. Because the way things start out with someone is usually 90%, there's always that outlier where it gets better, but usually it just kind of continues the way it starts. So already we're starting with this was the position. Oh, but now I want you to do this. And the scope creep, you're already, your little spidey sense, which I highly am like approving of, is all right. We're going to have weekly meetings to make sure this scope creep thing doesn't. You're walking into, this is nothing about her as a person. Building these businesses, there's a lot of moving parts and it's difficult. So I'm not saying like she doesn't know what she's doing and she's out of control. I'm not saying that. But you are walking into a systemless thing that is being built, and you're smart and you're capable.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this so often where smart, capable people just get into something where now they're shouldering someone else's development rather than just putting all that time and effort into your own development.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's money. And yeah, she might give you more. But the thought of you managing interns, like right there, do you know how much administration shit, scheduling shit, who's on top of what shit, they flaked on that shit, I have to pick up the slack?
Yeah.
I want you out there getting another client for money. I see a lot of red flags.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
and
weird, a red flag to me that she said, I'll tell you next week. And then.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Offer.
She's a little.
She's a little all over the place.
Yeah. And when you come in, Ms. Responsible, capable, grounded energy,
right,
let me help you. She just wants to do the fun stuff. Who is she going to put all that other stuff on? You. The scope creep is going to be out of control.
For sure.
Even though she hired a project manager.
Right. Well, and also the way she hasn't like out and out been like shitty about her former assistant, but she has alluded several times to not being happy with how it was going. And it seemed like that person was maybe not fully tracking stuff the way that she wanted her to track. And then also is a mom and her schedule was a little all and a model. So her schedule was a little all over the place. And I don't know this person, but the people I've worked for know her. And when they were like, oh yeah, well, so she has that team. And I'm like, I think that that girl's getting the boot or has gotten the boot. And they're like, oh man, she's like a single mom who's just like trying to deal with this. And I'm like, oh God, okay. So then maybe that's bad. Oh no, I'm so bummed. No.
Why are you bummed?
Because I really liked the idea of having a steady paycheck.
But what was the texture when you thought about the steady paycheck? It wasn't just the money. What was the texture you were envisioning that steady paycheck would bring into your life? Steadiness,
some financial stability in order to make the move that we've talked about, the other place. And also I liked the idea when it was a little bit more like on the design side, that I would be learning how to run a design business.
Right.
Which marketing is a part of, and I need to
Sure.
on.
But learn that on your own stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of learning it on her stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. You can always take this job.
Right.
And we'll talk about what to negotiate, but you can always take this job and then go like, whoa, 2 weeks later, not for me.
Right.
You can do that. I'm just sensing that the steady paycheck that would be like, great, I'll do this stuff, get a steady paycheck, and then I'll work on my own stuff. I'm like, this doesn't smell of that situation. This doesn't smell of steadiness. This smells of overwhelm, of you catching a lot of her chaos.
Possibly. Yeah.
And that's not a little steady thing that just sits over here that you don't put a huge amount of energy to. What you're trying to build with Highfield Home has a lot of moving parts, and you have to be responsive to your clients.
Yeah.
So if you have a boss that doesn't have clear cut, like this is what we do, and your boss is organized and you know when to show up and there's flexibility and all that. If you're having to be responsive to your boss at the same time you have to be responsive to your clients, you're just going to fry.
Totally. I don't get the sense. I mean, the like sending it on a Friday at 6 p.m. before when she had said next week, that is a little bit of a thing, but I also just didn't respond. I was like, I will write back.
Yeah, that's great.
And she outlined the days and the hours, which were similar to what I had said. And there does seem to be some flexibility.
Okay. Yeah. So if you want to explore it,
yeah,
I think it's smart to go back. I love the monthly meetings for sure.
Yeah.
And you can say, I'll do $35 an hour for 2 months. And then we'd need to. Then I'd need a raise to 40.
Right.
And.
Well, because even already, like I said, I'm getting asked about other jobs that would pay 40 and 45. And I'm like, I'm going to take those and then scoot you to the end of the week or whatever. I mean, if that's okay, then that's what I'm doing. It just means I don't get days off until Christmas.
Well, yeah, but what are those other jobs that you're being asked to do for higher rates? Are those just kind of one-offs, or are you being offered jobs where you would work for somebody else?
No, those are freelance jobs. It's like, come do this style, be the assistant.
Yeah. Right. So trading your hours, and that's not a pejorative, by the way, but trading your hours for that quantity of money. Yeah.
Right.
So why don't you go back to her and say, we need to have monthly meetings. I would say twice a month, every other week.
Yeah.
Every other week meetings. I'll do $35 an hour for the first 2 months, and we can see if, it works and if we work well together. On styling days when I'm actually working, because what you're hiring me for at $35 an hour is your marketing coordinator. and the coordinator of your intern and your basically administrative support.
Right.
On days when I'm styling, I'm $500 an hour, which is below market rate. So yeah, go back to her with that and then try it and see. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm going off a scant amount of information and more of my hunch. And
no, I think there's something there. None of it is making my spidey senses go like way all the way off. It's not like red alert. I'm just like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
Mostly I'm catching, and I've caught this in every interaction. I'm like, oh, you're just really pushing to make this something, and you don't have your systems yet, and you have two kids, and you're figuring this out as you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the flip side, that might give you a lot of leverage to come in and hold the boundaries of like, yes, I'll do that. No, I won't do that. You just need more help with this, or you should get another intern with that. Like, you can, you know, if she kind of needs some of that steadying, mm-hmm. you can come in very valuably and give that to her.
Right. I think I'm maybe romanticizing the idea of like becoming indispensable and then getting a lot more money and whatnot, and then leaving that to something, but maybe that's not.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, she would have to get capitalized in some way to get an influx of enough cash to actually then up-level you in that respect.
Yeah.
She's in that tough stage where she needs help to grow, and she probably has opportunities that she feels she's leaving cash on the table. So she needs to bring in some help, but she can only pay you what much work she can do.
What I'm seeing is she has a publicist and she's like trying to get featured and stuff. But when I like put my stylist glasses on in the photos, they're beautiful photos because the photographer knows what they're doing. But it's not quite publication ready. The styling is missing. She needs a stylist.
Yeah. So don't. And this is for everybody. There's a lot of things to take into consideration when you're accepting a job offer. Number one, it's totally okay to go back with a counter offer. Number two, yes, it can add to whether you take the job or not if you think, oh, there might be some like room for growth in this. But you have to take the job you're being accepted for. The romanticizing of like, ooh, we could turn into like, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
And when you go into something like this, especially when you're being paid at this level, which isn't bad, but it's not fantastic, you have to control the dials and keep the boundaries of, I will work for the time you are paying me.
That's it.
And that's it, because you're not paying me to be there 24/7, the handle, put out all the fires, handle all the,
right.
No, you're not. Yeah. So this might totally work for you.
Right.
If you just do the job you're being paid to do.
Right.
Yeah. So that's cool. Okay. Is that.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm grateful for the nudge that I could just focus on my own stuff. Because I will say that before I had the meeting, I was like, it is weird to me that there's another meeting after we've had two phone calls. I mean, I can give her in person, but like, this seems like, just hire me. I know what I'm doing. Like, you'd be lucky. Like, what are you doing? But also, I was like, but you know, if I don't get the job, which I guess now that's kind of a possibility now that it's drying out, I'll just focus on my own thing. So whatever, that's fine. So that felt like a win.
Just draw it up in writing and go, this is what I'd be willing to do. Boo, boo, boo. Here are the points. Let me know if you have any questions.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of your clients wants to hire you to do his garage/man cave after that you're done with his office, which you're finishing up this week. And he told me to think about what I would charge for that. And you were shocked that he didn't just assume that this space would be the same price as the last space. And you'd been roughly tracking your hours for the office project. And even with doubling your rate, I'm for sure undercharging once you break it down hourly. The garage actually seems easier, but I think I should maybe up my rate anyway. I'm also seeing that I'm going to need to get more and more clear about what the services are that I offer because each client has different needs. And contracts, referral lists, markup, trade programs, testimonials, all the things. Yes, all the things. So you're saying that since he inquired about how much the garage would cost, is he thinking it's just a bigger space, like physically bigger space? And so he's like,
I think that is what he's thinking.
Okay, great. Well, let him think that.
Yeah.
And
I'm
so,
like, this is easier. But
yeah. Okay. Right. And so you would, even though if you doubled your rate for that space, you're like, oh, I think I'm still undercharging technically with all the hours you put in.
Oh, so he's the one that I doubled from. So I charged him 500.
Yeah.
I was like, and after it was especially because we were on a really tight timeline. So I was mostly working with him this week. And then like, I'm there putting the IKEA furniture together. And I'm like, I don't think that needs to be part of.
No, you can say I have somebody who can do that for you.
He almost got a TaskRabbit and then he did whatever. He's a friend. So I'm like, it's a nice thing. It's fine. But okay. Noted. I gotta maybe have names of people to, yeah.
And then
organizing. I have another client that needs to get rid of a ton of stuff. And I want to just have like a PDF that's like, here are all the places that I recommend that you get rid of things. Like, here's where you can drop everything off, or here's where you can mail it and they'll sell it for you or whatever.
And if you need help,
here's my rate
to purge with that. Yeah, you can hire me for this an hour if you want me to do it, to put together your IKEA furniture. Oh, I'll do it for this much an hour. Like,
right.
That's fine. Because some people will be like, great, great, great. You just do it.
Right.
And other people will be like, ooh, let's get a TaskRabbit for that.
Right. Right.
You're just letting them make the choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is how you can handle the other stuff. Now, if you decide, I don't want to be putting together IKEA furniture, no matter how much you pay me, then you just say, get a TaskRabbit for that. Please have them done by Thursday so we can move on with the other stuff we need to do. Yeah. I don't think your clients will bat an eye about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you could also have somebody who can help people purge. Like, they don't have to be an organizer, but, someone who can like help people purge and put together stuff. And you can say, oh, I have my gal, this person, and she's $35 an hour or whatever, $30 an hour or whatever. And then you give her 25 and you take $5.
Yeah.
That's another way you can do it.
Yeah.
Or you can not take a cut and just be like, you just bring in people.
Yeah.
For a rate, so they don't have to like deal with it.
Yeah. I feel more like I need to do the like take a cut or add a fee to shopping. That's more what I'm running into. Again, because it's friends, I'm like, just pay me back what the thing was. But like, I know that part of being a designer is they usually mark stuff up. They're either marking stuff up because it's like you're paying me for the time to go shopping and get the thing or whatever, or they're a part of trade programs where they automatically get 20% off and then they sell it at, whatever.
Because what the client's paying for is convenience.
Yeah, I'm learning that.
Go get all the stuff. And then, as an organizer, I would go to Target or the Container Store and buy a bunch of stuff. Then I also had to return all that stuff.
Right.
So it was a whole like, I'll get it for you and then I'll return it for you and I'll charge you the stuff and I'll charge you my shopping fee.
Right.
And for the clients who wanted that, it's like, great, 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 great. Money is not the problem for everybody.
Right.
The convenience and the quickness and your eye on everything will be more.
Right.
But that is what they're getting out of it is convenience.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm experiencing that more with my friend whose office I'm doing, because he was just so, he's so stressed about so many things that he's just like, tell me what to buy and I'll buy it. And I like would literally send him a link being like, how do you like this? And he'd be like, I'll get it. I'm like, no. I'm asking for a decision. Do you like it? Or do you want a different one? He'd be like, I already bought it. I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Some clients just want you to make all the decisions. That's what they're paying for. Just make this beautiful and make it easy.
Yeah.
Make it best.
Yeah.
And then other clients will want to learn from you.
Right.
And some clients don't want to learn anything.
Right.
I'm like that with some things. Like, I don't want you to teach me. I just want you to magically make it happen for me.
Yeah.
And then other times I'm into it.
I'm experiencing that more and more. And I think it's going to take me a little while to fully drop into like, they don't want to learn. Cause I'm like, why wouldn't you want to learn? It's so fascinating. Don't you want to be a part of this process? It's your home. It's where you live. Cause obviously all of that matters to me.
Right.
But yeah.
But yeah, and the thing is, this is such a good awareness for you to have, and this is for everybody. If you expend energy teaching clients who don't want to learn, that's just extra energy you're throwing away.
Right.
I used to joke that organizers, sometimes a client is just done before the project is done, but they're done. And I'm like, and the organizer would be like, oh, but I want to keep, I just have, I'm like, you need to go home, take a cold shower.
Yeah.
Like it's over.
Yeah.
Take a cold shower, dust it off. They're done. And that's great.
Yeah.
You've satisfied them. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm running into that too. Okay. So then the last thing is the heck do I charge them for the garage?
You want to just say 1,000? That would be doubling your
Oh,
rate,
I
right?
didn't, when I wrote that, I didn't mean double that.
750? Like, what do
I
you
was
want?
Thinking 750. But I don't know. It's just so, it is so wild to me that he was like, let me know what it is, instead of just being like, okay, so we'll also hire you at the same rate. Like, I almost even want to just make it 600. I'm having all of this like, oh, I don't know, it's the same.
So currently he's paying 500 for his office.
Yeah. Could be 7.
Why don't you say 750? See what he says, because he might go, great.
Right.
And if he goes, you can go, is that doable? And he's like, oh, I was thinking more like 600. And you can go, we can do 600.
Gives me such anxiety. Yeah. But
yeah, that's good for you though. It's,
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't say, how is 750? No, you say 750 for the garage.
Mm-hmm.
You just let that hang there. Let him come back to you with like, oh, but
yeah, this also will include his wife, who I'm also friends with. And so I just had the thought, like, he might do a like, oh, let me check with her.
Sure, let him. That's fine.
Yeah.
750 sounds good. It's going to actually pay you more for the labor, like for all of it. Like, it's good. It's good.
Okay. Well, I have some time to wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? That was everything, right?
No, I'm going to summarize for myself, because it is a little new that I'm maybe not going to take the job for the designer. It is new and scary to think of. But I will first just say thank you for your offer. Here's my counter offer.
Mm-hmm.
These are the terms. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
And then go from
and
there.
You can use the word counter offer. or if you want to soften the edges around that, you can just go, here's what I can do.
Or yeah. Or here's what I was thinking. And she said, like, let me know your thoughts. Here's what
Here are my thoughts.
Here are my thoughts.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Are you having to buy bigger shirt sizes because your muscles are good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good work.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Karen Eileen.
Hello.
Hello. Somebody graduated to Cashflow Tiger. Could it be you?
Could be. I'm having a little moment, sort of super emotional. I have to leave in 15 minutes. So okay. I feel sad because I did not let you know that ahead of time. Okay. And I sort of had a very challenging day rearranging things so I could get here. So I'm just having.
Well, we have 15 glorious minutes.
Okay.
Let me read. So you are up for a multi-$1,000 speaking gig.
Yeah.
Victory. You've been hired to teach voiceover at the college level for a live masterclass, $5,000 for 15 hours.
Yep.
Victory. Mm-hmm. So you graduated to Tiger, even though you don't feel like one. Yeah, yeah. I don't
feel,
understand.
I don't feel
that.
Anything like a tiger. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. So two questions. You're in the running for the speaking gig and you're wondering how to price it. In the past, you asked for what you thought was an outrageous price for an online gig, and you got it.
Mm-hmm.
This one is live, and you want to underprice your competition and still be fair to yourself. You randomly offered $2,750 for 60 minutes and $3,500 for 90 minutes
mm-hmm.
and $5,200 for up to 4 hours.
Yeah.
With one-to-one Q&A attached if they want.
Yeah.
Full transparency, I don't have an official letter of agreement or contract. Previous clients have not asked for one.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is basically pricing. Now, have you offered those prices to them yet? Or
I have, and I didn't know. Now, if it comes up again and like we're in between sessions, I mean, is that something we can post in the group or is that really just?
So if it comes up again, meaning if they counter?
Either if they counter or in the future, like, you know, we see you every 2 weeks, but like life is going to happen in between. So like what?
You picked these numbers.
What? Say that again about the numbers?
You picked these.
I picked them. I was because in this group, I mean, I hear you, you're installed in my head and I hear you say, what number would feel good to you? What number would feel good? So you need to leave your house. You need to drive to the gig. You need to set up. You need to do the thing. You need to prep. You need to drive home. You need to decompress. What is that number to take you from your life to do this thing? So that's how I guessed it.
Yeah. Because this one's live, so you're actually going someplace.
I'm going. It's not far, but it's going to take me 45 minutes or an hour to get there.
God, yeah. You're not in front of Zoom with no pants on. So it doesn't matter if it was next door. You'd still have to put on pants.
Correct. Yes.
It's the pants fee.
It's the pants fee.
And
it's really good.
So you pick these numbers. And that sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you do. You just pick numbers.
Okay.
We're all making all of this up.
Wow.
I just am glad that you picked a number after considering, okay, I have to prepare for this. I have to craft this thing that they want from me. It's not like I already have it there.
Right.
And then I have to, you know, prep it and deliver it and go somewhere to deliver. Yeah. So then you made up those numbers.
I did.
Gave them to them.
Yeah. And the second question, which I don't know if we'll be able to get to it, but I feel like if I had video of me doing the thing, I could legitimately charge way more than that. Like, it's normal to get 5K for an hour if you've got footage. So that's a future goal, but it's got my head in a trick bag a little bit.
Now, and you said, you stayed up and you made this little reel for yourself.
Yeah.
And so what's on the reel?
So what's on the reel is me talking to camera like this. Hi, I'm Karen Elaine Gordon. This is what I talk about. And then I did the actor thing. I did three different hairstyles, three different wardrobe changes, three different backdrops. So it looks like I was in three different locations.
Hell
And I
yeah.
know enough about video and audio that I messed with it so it looked like it was different thing. And it's just, but it's me and talk, talk, talk. There's nothing live. I'm not interacting with anybody. I'm not on a stage. I have all that, but it's iPhone footage. So
And do you have any still photography of you talking in front of people? Like, I'm just asking if you
oh.
have photographs or from that iPhone footage, can you do
That,
stills?
I mean, that didn't occur to me. I could try and pull some.
I mean, as long as they're not like grainy, found footage images, but
Blair Witch. Yes, Blair Witch footage.
sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, this is for everybody. Sometimes you may have footage of you speaking at an event, but the sound is really shitty, or the lighting is, it doesn't make good video, but it might make an okay still. Because then you can, like, in between the clips on your reel, just put in a still of, like, I've been in front of people. But here's the thing. So you did everything right, Karen Eileen. The backdrops, the changes of hair, the changes of clothes, 100%. And what you say is, here's footage of my most recent, here's my most recent footage. Because everyone for the
Has been
past
online.
2.5 years have
Thank
done
you.
all of the events online. So if you just say, here's my most recent footage.
And so, yeah, you, yeah.
Here's the thing. Is we can't force people to think we're a big deal. And we can't
No.
force people to think we're good at what we do. All we
Right.
can do is be like, here's a sample of me talking. Like, if you like it, you'll probably like me to do your thing for you. And yes, at the higher levels, when you have a flashy video that just proves, oh, wow, oh, somebody's paid her a lot of money, then you
Yeah.
can charge a little bit more. But you can also just charge a little bit more because it's the value that they're getting.
I how do I authentically and smartly counter? Well, we'd really love to see you in action in front of a group. Can we see that?
You really think they're going to ask you that?
Yes.
Why?
Why? I had
Have they
that.
indicated to you that they're going to need to see that you've been on a stage before?
Not so much on a big stage, but that I've interacted with a live group rather than being on Zoom. I
But you've
lost a
done that.
gig. Yeah. But I don't have proof of concept. I don't have the proof. Yeah.
But you have a
I have a ton of webinar stuff.
decade-long acting career, you
I
have
do.
events you've done with no footage, and you have proof that you can talk to a camera. Like,
Yes.
you can do it. I think that this is much more, you'd be very, let's take a page from the men. We're all ladies here today. From you men listening, we're taking a page.
Okay.
From just being like, of course I can do this.
Yeah.
And having the energy of, like, of course I can. Like, a lot of men are just so much more relaxed about saying, yeah, like, you should trust me, I can do it. You know
Yeah.
how many men have led people to death because they're like, let's go, we can do this. I'm so sure of myself when they actually did not have the skill to do it. Lots. That's why we're here today. But we can take a little bit of that because I think this is more of a story and a problem for you.
Okay.
Yes, you lost a gig because someone was probably deciding between you and somebody who had some tape,
Yeah.
because the decider person had to go to their boss and go, this is
Yes.
not justified for my. That's what all that stuff is for. That's what these stamps of validation that we get are for,
I
so that
know.
they can choose us and then go to their boss. Don't fire me.
And
She
it's the
said,
corporate, excuse me, it's
yeah.
the corporate world, so it's less open-minded.
Yeah.
They get nervous if they don't see that you have done the thing before.
Yeah.
So,
But here's the thing. You could have a great tape and someone has a better tape, or you could
of
have a great
course.
tape and someone doesn't like your style. Like,
Okay.
but let's, you've
Okay.
made a tape.
I have.
Excellent. So now they have proof that you can do this
Yeah.
coherently, offer salient guidance to a group of people.
Yeah, yes, that pre it's on the tape. It is. Yeah.
If that's not enough, they're not your people. And there's nothing you can do about it because we can't
Yes.
manufacture you on a TED stage.
No.
No, we just can't do that.
I thought if I was a good enough video editor, I probably would know how to do that. But I don't. So.
No. So,
Okay.
if you just decide that you're not going to lose the jobs that you're meant to have,
There, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
and these assets are going to have to be good enough. My speaking page doesn't, I don't have great video of me talking either. I have one video
Okay.
of me doing a thing, and
Okay.
you can't even see the audience. And I have two pictures, and I even, there's a photo on my speaking page, and it's me with a microphone with curtains, like a curtain in the back. That's staged
Yeah.
from my photographer in her loft. We hung a drape and then
Okay.
close up me on a, with a microphone, not
Nice.
even a headset, because we didn't have that. We just had a mic. So it's just to tell people, yes, I've done this before. Don't worry about it. Like,
Okay. Okay.
yeah. Yeah, I still don't have the flashy photo pictures either.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, that helps me for
Good
context. Yes, thank you.
job, girl. How
Thank you.
did these, there's two of these, right? How did the teaching gig
The teaching gig,
happen? How did that come your way?
this is the third time this university has brought me in. They brought me in, I think 2018 for the first time because one of the professors was in one of my online voiceover classes and afterwards said, I was really in this class because I'm shopping for somebody to come to see our master's students. And I was like, yay. So that's how that happened. And and I charge way more than they have in their budget, so that's why they're constantly getting the money together to pay me, which I let them do. So,
So someone was out there thinking about you, and
yes.
then they contacted you without you doing anything to do this thing.
That's a very good when you
Oh, did it
put it
fall into
that
your
way.
lap again?
Yes, I mean yes, it did.
Mean, not it was, it's another harvest from a seed that was planted.
Yes, it was. I planted the seed by doing the course, but yes, I'd never expected, three master classes at this university. So what I'll bring next time is I feel like it's time to put together the video to pitch that to the other universities because that I would actually like to do. So.
Looked at your brain. Thank you for picking it. So here's the thing that I would say to you, Karen Eileen.
Yes, ma'am.
You're absorbing. You're picking up what I'm laying down.
You are
When
laying it
things
down.
happen in your business, in between the times that I'm available to do this with you in this forum,
Yeah.
you go, just go back in your brain and just be like, what would Christine say about this? It's already there. You're accumulating enough. And it's important for you to keep reminding yourself, okay, I can figure this out. I've accumulated enough. Okay, what has she said in the past? What does she say in the workshop? Like in
Okay.
the creating cash flow course, like what, you have it. You have enough.
Okay, wow. I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gonna go teach. Okay, bye bye.
Okay. Laura. I forgot how to work my computer.
Well, you're going to fail a business, so I don't think about that.
Pardon the video. I just, Sunday, there's no face on. I wanted to just add on to what you were talking to Helen with, and also this goes for our young lady who just left, but I just had a guy who's a production designer. I'm talking somebody who runs 250 people teams at Paramount. And since they're on strike, these guys are losing their homes. They're not working. They've got three kids. They're married. And when I found out about him, I was like, hey, we want to hang a door at the studio and we want to hang a TRX system. And I've thrown to my clients for designing their hardscape in the background. I'm like, you're a designer. Designers design. Let's do this. He had no qualms coming back and saying, okay, so hanging the TRX system is going to be between this amount and this amount. And personally, I told him, I said, hey, your rate's too low. People are kind of shocked at, what you're asking for. And this is like getting a CEO of a company to come and hang your freaking doorknob. You know the quality, because the difference between men and like women on numbers blows my freaking mind. Like giving a hard and fast number. And in my business, I have that sliding scale too, but when he did the door, I didn't even ask him the price. The price was going to be the price no matter what, because I wanted the freaking door. It came back being a $1,600 door for a barn door. And the door was a little less than half the cost of installing it. But having the baffles on the side of the door and the quiet in that back room, invaluable. So people want what they want when they want it. And I'm not a millionaire, my clients are, they're going to pay, right? If you give them the vision, you say, okay, it maybe Helen's number for the garage isn't going to be 700. It's going to be between 700 and 1,000, depending on my time and the product we have to install or put. But like you said, I put together IKEA furniture at $40 an hour. Doing that by yourself is a pain in the, and it breaks while you put it together. But the other thing with Helen is that you and I know this, knocking around LA for years and decades. This other designer is taking advantage of her youth and the lack of other life commitments that she has. And she's literally partnering this woman on running her business and not being paid what a partner would be paid. And if she saw it as the time she spent building her own business is paying herself, because when that job comes along, it's going to pay off. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I was listening and I was like, wait a minute, hang on. Okay, I'll shut up now.
No, thank you. Thank you, Laura. Yes, words of wisdom, and they were well received. Helen gave a thumbs up. Cricket.
I'm here.
Take that post-it off your thing.
Hi, I'm gonna
Hi.
take you back to the office where it's cool. Hi, everybody. I'm kind of just here to soak up the vibes, and I've been in England all summer.
Fancy.
And it was work, it was pleasure. All that good stuff. But I have some questions about balance today. And next time I'm going to have bigger questions about business. But Christine, I am coming out of, I would say, a pretty long dry spell in terms of my writing. And I had, what's really interesting is that before I left for England on July 1st, I got back September 1st. And I had managed to put together several different clients. I had a school approach me for doing work with them. They asked for a proposal. I was not able to consult with you because I was on a different time zone, but I heard your voice the entire time, put together this whole proposal, and they never even responded.
Fantastic.
And I'm like, great, that is a sign. I don't need y'all in my life. And I've had a couple of clients that have turned out to be tricky for different reasons. And it might be worth it to talk about that in just a minute. But basically, you know, I have a demanding day job that just doesn't pay enough for what my financial goals are. And then I have a freelance gig for a festival that I love that has had serious, I would say, communication leadership issues this year. And that impacted me in August at a time when I had taken vacation, and I am just not happy with the way I feel like my time has been abused. That's a whole story that we don't need to get into. And in the meantime, so I've got these tricky clients. I have this tricky situation with a festival I love and people I love. And then I sort of find myself shifting some goals. And I'm like, oh, the thing that is most important to me right now is writing this novel. That is the most important thing. And it is not the novel I thought I was going to write. I can't tell you how many ideas I've come up with, how many synopses I've written, how many outlines, how much research over, I am not exaggerating, since my last novel came out in 2011. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Yeah. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm like, oh, the festival has demands. The current clients have demands. In order to grow my business, I know that there are things that I have to do. And where I have my most energy right now is for an excitement is about writing this novel. So, and also for anyone watching this in the future, I love my clients and I love my business and I really enjoy it. So I'm not complaining about that.
No complaints.
I am not complaining about that. I'm just trying to figure out how can I just preserve this time, like make sure I am getting up at 5 a.m. and writing first thing before I do anything else. But like the business takes time. And I'm kind of thinking, do I just need to reassess how much I want to grow the business at this point? Do I need to, although I do have a couple of potential speaking engagements that would be not paid, but sort of an investment in getting future clients. I have a couple of things possible there. I'm just kind of like, it's very interesting to me to ask this question here because you are not just a business coach. You are also somebody who understands what it means to want to protect your creative freedom.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to ask this here because this is such a wonderful thing to talk about in the context of like, I have a job, I have my creative thing project, and then I also have this momentum that I don't necessarily want to just drop entirely. Okay, the list is good, so good. Okay. So when you add something onto your plate, the other things on your plate have to be adjusted, reevaluated, tightened. Because the thing you need to do something like writing a novel is you need energy as well as time. Because you can carve out time, and if you're just like spent,
yeah,
the creative juice just is not there. So the creative juice is what we really have to protect with all the other stuff on your plate. All the other stuff on your plate cannot encroach upon the creative juice that you need for this novel. It is more important for you to have the creative juice at its full capacity and less time than to carve out more time but have less juice.
Okay.
Because your novel will actually get written faster if you have enough juice in or fuel in your tank when you show up to write, even if you have less time. Because I could give you all the time in the world, but if you had no juice in your tank, that novel's not getting written. Even if you had all day, every day, but you just spent. So the juice, the fuel, is the most important. And then the time is the second most important. So let me ask you, is 5 a.m., I understand the logic of getting up early so you can write. Is that a good time for you? I'm not talking about anything else in your life, but is that a good time for you as an artist to write?
It's the best time.
Okay, perfect. Because, great. I'm so happy to hear that because it's time you have available. And it's also the best time. Because the other thing is you can't just pick any time. It can't just be like, well, I'll squeeze it in between 4 and 6. But if that's not a good time metabolically, what's going on inside your body, your brain, to write, it'll take you a lot longer to write it than if you can write at the time that you like to naturally write as much as possible. So yeah. Great. So ideally, what's your block in the morning? 5 to what?
Well, so I need to leave for work around 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course there are things to do and besides just mm-hmm. write in the morning. But if I get up at 5, I can usually after puttering around and making my coffee and everything, I can be seated and just start the thinking process by 5:45 or 6.
Great.
And then I really do need, I want to say 90 minutes minimum.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's 2 cups of coffee. This is my favorite thing in the world, is to drink coffee when no one's awake and write.
Right.
It makes me so happy. And so if we're saying an hour and a half, 90 minutes minimum, 5:45, 6:45, 7:15 or 7:30.
Yeah. So we're looking at 5 to 7:30.
Yeah.
To give you a nugget of 90 minutes at least.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So now, this is important for everybody listening. If you have something that you want to do in the morning, your morning does not start when you wake up. Your morning starts the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hit 5 a.m., you have to construct your evening. Your day actually starts at the time that you're going to get ready for bed. That starts your writing time. So you're actually writing. And this is a really great way to think about it. We'll talk about this, but let's just say you go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
That's when you are actually starting your writing time, not when you get up at 5 and not when you get in your seat at 5:45. You're starting at 9 p.m. because sleep, if you don't have that, enough of that, you want to wake up refreshed at 5. You want to wake up naturally if you can get yourself to wake up naturally without an alarm at five, that's, you're in your natural rhythm of sleep, and you'll be so much brighter than if you yank yourself out of sleep with an alarm. One of the biggest pieces of privilege people can have in life is to have a life where they're able to wake up naturally without an alarm. It is so much better on your body and your mind. So if you start thinking about your nighttime as part of this writing process, you'll take it more seriously. So what time would you like to, you know, go to sleep?
I think lights out should be 10.
Okay. And so then when do you have to start the wind down, the preparation for bed? Lights out at 10.
Maybe 30, 45 minutes before that.
Okay, so let's say 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So what does it mean to start to prepare for lights out? Mm-hmm. What happens between 9 and 10?
What does happen, or what would I like to happen?
Yeah. What would set you up well to go to sleep at 10 and wake up refreshed at 5?
Yeah. I think that it would be really helpful if I like stop with any sort of screens or social media. I have a bad habit of looking at social media and on my phone in my bed as I'm falling asleep, and that's just not good. I think it would be nice to like make a cup of tea, just do maybe some intentional. I also want to make sure I wash my dishes that gets done by the end of the day.
Okay, so that's 8:30.
Okay.
Dishwashing. So 9 p.m. can be when the screen shut off.
Okay.
Tea, brushing teeth, washing face, all that kind of wind down. Dim your lights. That helps.
True.
And it's a great time for you to ponder your novel. Not necessarily invite the muse in. You know, don't ponder your, okay, I said that entirely wrong. Do not ponder the plot of your novel.
Right.
You do not want to start right. You do not want to invite the muse in, but you can start connecting with it, of how important it is, of how much you're enjoying it, of how you want it to be received. Like that kind of stuff. Because what is going to actually get you to not scroll, to break the habits of not scrolling, of doing the dishes at 8:30, is if you start to take the novel seriously. Doesn't mean you're not having fun with it, but it's like, this is my art. This is my one wild and precious life. I'm feeling called to get a story out in a way that I haven't in a long time. This is my art. And what you do, Cricket, not only for your day job, but also for your side gig, is leading artists. So you have to walk the talk.
I know.
So that you're in alignment and congruity. And when you're in alignment and congruity with what you're actually espousing out in the world, more people are attracted to work with you.
Yeah.
Because you know that you're like, I'm not suggesting anybody do anything that I haven't had to do myself.
Right, right.
And it gives your teaching more authority, because it's like, oh, honey, I understand it's hard, but I do it because I have the shit I'm working. Like, you know, and this is the same that's happening right now. I've had to do all this. I'm in the mode right now of tweaking my evening routine because I'm shifting the stuff I want to do in the morning. And that starts at the night before. You can't just cram the rest of your day. See, this is the thinking. People think your day finishes when you go to sleep. And so you try to cram as much of the day still in the day before you go to sleep. And that does not set you up to get up when you want to. You have to think of it as like, oh, the day actually ends at like 8:30. And then the next day starts with my wind down and my sleep. That's the next day.
It's very interesting to hear you connect sort of a nighttime routine and getting up in the morning, because I have really struggled with a nighttime routine and I've never really thought of it as connected to what happens in the morning. And I think part of that is because I'm a natural early riser and I do wake up without an alarm. So that just happens. But I also think that I tend to get really tired in the middle of the day because I haven't maybe had as much good sleep as I needed, or I'm not as protective of that 10 p.m. lights out time as I should be, as I could be.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you do that 8:30, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. and some nights you might not like fall asleep, you might be up.
Right.
But then you have to have a plan of like, ooh, what happens when I can't exactly fall asleep? You can't re-stimulate your brain or you'll be up.
Yeah.
Writing. And if you're up writing at night or doing anything, you lose that time as a woman.
Right.
As you get older, you lose the next day. You don't get to like add that on. You're messed up the next day. So you want to be gentle. Don't get panicked. I'm not sleeping. That's the worst. But what can you do? Maybe you do stretches. You know, that's always a good thing to do. You can read if that puts you back to sleep. Fiction's better than nonfiction because nonfiction can stimulate ideas.
Right. You know,
there's lots of podcasts and meditations to get you back into sleep or mm-hmm. to just kind of calm your, you want to keep your brain calm. You don't want to panic that you're not sleeping, but you don't want to re-stimulate yourself. You just want to be like, oh, I happen to be awake. Apparently I'm meant to be awake. What would be a lovely, calm, soothing, fun thing to do right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay.
That is how you're going to have the juice to write this novel. Mm-hmm. So now we look at what else is on your plate.
Yeah.
And one thing I can tell you is that the energy that you give your regular day job will need to be dialed down at least one notch, if not more. You're just going to need to conserve it because you have to put it towards your art. So you start looking at, where am I overcompensating? Where am I managing other people's energy? Where am I overacting, but that's not, but like, where am I doing more than I need to do? Where am I trying to give 110%? Just dial it back.
Where am I solving people's problems that are not my problems?
Yeah. You don't have time for those problems because you have a book to write.
Yeah.
And that for everyone listening, that's how important your art or your side business has to be. It's like, oh, I can't give you energy. I'll give you as much energy as you're paying me for, but I want to do this other stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So you start adjusting the dials at your work. Then with your side business, you really just have to look at, okay, where am I going to get the most bang for my buck? If those speaking engagements are easy for you to do, do them. They're available. You've been invited. If they're easy, then great. Even if you're not getting paid for them, because it's just establishing you in your field. It's keeping, you know, you're going to get some more leads. Mm-hmm. maybe your prices have to go up a little bit, just so if you're working, you're getting more money. Maybe, maybe not, don't know. But that's another thing to look at. Because without the novel, oh, maybe it's okay to earn this much when I do this work. But with the novel, it's like, anytime I take away from the novel, I want it, like, it needs to provide the cash, or else I'll just day job it and novel it, you know? Yeah. And so it's really about, like, taking the side business seriously too, of like, you are fortunate to be working with me. Mm. And my job is to tell you that you are fortunate to be working with me, and why that is, and how I can help you.
Right.
And all that marketing stuff.
Right.
And then you ask yourself, what's the least amount of marketing I can do? What's the most minimum effective dose? What's the minimum but effective dose of marketing I can do in a month that will help me stay aware, maybe get another client, keep the business kind of moving forward, but that leaves me enough time to write? Mm-hmm. And you might have to experiment with, like, is it the webinar stuff? Is it speaking engagements? Like, what is it, just networking? Like, what, where can I get clients easily and with the least amount of effort?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you dial that in so that when you do take time away from everything else to focus on that side business, it's like stuff that really packs a punch.
Yeah.
That, do you have any questions? Like, does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. I think that just thinking about if I am dedicating 5 to 7:30 to that work, and I need to leave for work to the writing of the novel, and then I need to leave for work at 9:30, that does give me, you know, a good hour, 90 minutes or so to work on the business. And maybe not every day, or maybe I'll work on the business in the evening. You know what I mean? Like, where it doesn't require.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking, like, from 7:30 to 9:30, aren't you like showering, dressing, commuting, eating breakfast?
I don't leave at 9:30. So I have an hour in there. I have an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe not every day. And maybe you look at your monthly schedule and go, oh, you know what? And one day of one weekend a month, it's just like 6 hours on my side biz.
Okay, that's a good point.
You know, you can take your weekends and go, okay, well, what am I going to devote? Because that's another thing. So it's about setting up and protecting the juice of your novel, dialing down the energy expenditure at work, and including you taking a lunch hour, whether you want to nap or just get away or work out a plot point on chapter seven, like whatever, but take your lunch hours. It's in your contract that you get one.
Yeah.
And then minimum effective dose on your side business. But then the fourth thing is adjusting the dials on your social life. And I just mean obligational stuff to do for other people and how you plan your social life, because you're shutting down at around 8:30 if you want to get those dishes. And now it's not that every single day at 8:30, but it's like maybe you don't write on Saturday morning so you can stay out on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. And Saturday is maybe just more business, catch up on house stuff, or Saturday night to Sunday.
Yeah.
But you really want to look at your week and go, okay, what will I have to say no to, or put boundaries around, or not do this fall?
Right.
Maybe I'm not doing Thanksgiving because I want 4 days to write.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
And that is about deciding on how important your art is in your life.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds very serious. What you just said. It's about deciding how important your art is to your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And usually for art to get accomplished, for something of significance, and a novel is like just a shit ton of work. I've written a book before, and it's like, oh my God, the amount of hours, not a novel. But it's a lot.
It's
And
a
for
lot.
that to get done well and launched into the world, it just is going to take a chunk of your life, your art.
It really
And
is.
it will. And a lot of people don't do their art because their art requires them to deal with the discomfort of other people being disappointed in you or mad at you or bummed that you can't do the thing. And a lot of artists don't do their art because they just are like, that I can't deal with that feeling. And usually they can't deal with it because they haven't tried to deal with it. They haven't discovered it doesn't kill you. It just doesn't feel. No one has ever died from discomfort. But in order to launch art out into the world, you're going to go through a lot of discomfort because society and the world who's not doing art and who doesn't give a shit about you doing your art is like, why can't you make the cupcakes for the thing? Huh?
These are all really good points. It also just seems like a really important commitment to not just the art, but also to myself as an artist that has felt very distant for a long time. Like, I really am so excited about this project, and it reminds me of the way I behaved in my 20s and early 30s. And I always had jobs that, like temping jobs, that I had no skin in those games. And I would just walk out the door and go right back to my social life and my friends and, you know, whatever was fun, and be up in the morning writing, right? Like, this is how I feel right now. But I don't think that the social life is as feasible now as it was, or the big social life. Let me put it that way. Yeah, so this is really helpful. This is really helpful.
Good. I'm very glad to hear it. I'm very glad to hear it. Yeah. Art, a requirement of art is talent, but also another requirement of art is disappointing people. And if you're not up for the task, you can have all the talent in the world. Yeah. Yeah.
Talent and disappointing people.
Among other things, but those are definitely two ingredients. Yes. You have. Thank you so much. I am so excited for you. I want you to write this book. Writing anything is never a waste of time. Writing is one of those things that is never a waste of time, whether this book goes in a drawer. You don't know why you're being called to write this right now. All you know, all we know for sure, is you're being called to write. So answer the call with the best situation you can create for yourself. Answer the call, because that is you dancing with the universe, and you don't know where the universe is trying to get you to go through the act of starting this book. Okay. So excited. Can't wait to hear how it goes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So anybody else with a quick 5-minute question, or should we wrap up? Everybody feel complete? I don't see any hands. All right, little love bugs. That's it. I will see you. Oh, Anise. Okay. We got 5 minutes.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm trying to get to my raise hand button.
I don't know if it'll fit in 5 minutes, but I'll just say it and we can see. But I basically reached out since we talked last to do workshops. So I reached out to my improv coach, actually, who runs their improv organization, and they're going to bring me in to do a training for them. Yeah.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Yeah. And I was like so nervous for just the process of reaching out. So now it's made me be like, oh, I need to reach out to like any and everybody who fits in that umbrella. But I my original plan was to reach out to people in Michigan before we went, but we're going next week and I still hadn't reached out to people on campus. I was like, I made a list of like organizations that I was a part of. I'm thinking about still reaching out and just being like, hey, I want to make this connection with you and I'll be in town. But like, I like trying to make a workshop in that amount of time just seems crazy. But I'm wondering if that makes sense, or, I mean, I'm always there at some point in the year because my brother lives there. But yeah, just any thoughts on just being like, hey, I want to say that.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy that your brain thought that way of like, okay, time's running out. I might not be able to do like the whole workshop pitch, but
yeah,
yes, 100% reach out. Now I have a question for you. When you say, oh, it's gonna be kind of crazy to put together a workshop in a week, crazy for you or crazy for them?
For them. I mean, I pretty much have the structure.
Okay. So then here's what you should do is you should reach out and go, I know this is short notice, but a trip to wherever has, you know, has fallen into my agenda and I didn't want to not reach out to you.
Yeah.
Of course, be happy to do a workshop. We do this and this, this is what we do. But if that's not feasible to coordinate in the time, I know this, you know, then I would still love to meet with you. So let me know which option would work best for your schedule. But you just go, this thing just came onto my schedule. I know, and just acknowledge, I know this is last minute. But I can't not be there and not reach out to you because we do these workshops. I'd be happy to do one. But if you can't coordinate it, I definitely would just love to meet with you because maybe there'd be some opportunity in the future. What might work? So at least let them say no.
Okay.
Because they'd be like, yeah, let's do a workshop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love that option because it lets them decide. Yeah. And they can at least see what's there.
Look at your brain thinking like a business person.
It's really helpful to get someone who's like, yeah, that'd be so helpful to have this workshop. And I'm like, oh, wait, okay, let's go. Let's keep doing this.
Everybody holds a special place in their heart for the first yes, or for that first, also the first person, like when you really raise your prices and somebody says yes, it's just like, oh my God, I will hold you forever in my heart because you just need one, like you did to just give you that little bit of encouragement to go. So even if that client turns out to be a nightmare, you'll learn a lot, but somebody said yes to your offer. So I'm so happy. And that would never have happened if you didn't do that. That's another thing required to do art or business. Talent, so skill, talent, the willingness to have people be disappointed and let you process your feeling of disappointment or discomfort because they're feeling feelings, and sweaty hands. You got to be able to do those sweaty hand conversations where it's like, I've had so many of those. It's just like, oh my God, I'm so nervous and I don't want to be rejected.
Yeah. No.
Sweaty hands. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're going to come back and you're going to tell us what contacts you're able to make or what happened with the trip.
Yes, I will.
Fantastic. I'm so glad you got to your hand raising button.
Yeah.
For anyone else, you know, when you come, and even if you don't submit a question ahead of time, if something comes to mind during it, just throw that hand up and I'll try to like curtail talking to someone. So I want to try to get as many people as possible. So go for it. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a great fall. We're in pumpkin season, apparently, according to my grocery store. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.